There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You're funny, scumbag. Get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that is 50 Days of Dragon Con goodness, which sometimes you skip a day or two because, you know, really real life happens. But then at the end, we wind up doing like 16 of these all in a row. And, you know, that's how things happen. And joining me, as always, is the short but not stout, Lee. How you doing? Previous conversation.
When you don't have kneecaps, don't blame me.
Also, the voice that you just heard was Rox. Rox is joining us again as the in-studio guest, I suppose.
I have kneecaps.
She's visiting as we get ready.
Yeah, on my two-month tour. This is the ending.
This is the end date of her two months of traveling across the United States. And, you know, what's going on, first of all, Lee? And then we'll introduce our other guest.
Well, what is going on is we do have guests being announced all the time. So do keep looking. We've got people from Stargate Universe. We've got people from Stargate Voyager. And we've got
Stargate Voyager.
Oh, goodness, I just saw it. And we've got people from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Angel. And I'm not going to tell you their names. I'm going to make you go to the Dragon Con guest app.
What is Stargate Voyager?
I'm going to go to the Dragon Con website and look.
Please answer my question. What is Stargate Voyager? I want to know.
Say Stargate Voyager.
Yes, you did. You
said. I said we had Stargate Universe and Voyager.
Hold no. Let me replay the audio. Hold on.
Oh man, I'm sorry. We and, have Stargate, coming from Stargate Universe Voyager. And from Star Trek Voyager. Fart.
And someone who, you know, Lee, someone who might actually make that into a crossover video parody thing is one of our guests. Lee,
you know what, he is, and he would love to probably do that. That would be Brian, one of the creative geniuses behind Dragon Con TV, who didn't mean to be there. How you doing, Brian?
Not bad. I'm glad to be on this 50 Shades of Dragon Con podcast. I'm really glad it's not a video podcast.
Wow.
Oh, wait. 50 days. Never mind.
A different one.
Let me put some of there are no ties.
I'm not going to need most of the accessories for this.
Oh my gosh, you can have this as a real show.
For motivating people at con, but the rest of it I think I'll be okay without.
Oh, we could totally, can we borrow some of those for motivating? That would be great. So that is a question. How many 50 Shades jokes are you making this year?
We made that last year. We're ahead of the curve on that.
Oh, make them again.
We're still going to have our 50 Shades of Earl Grey,
awesome.
Which one of our will not be seen tonight. I don't think we're going to do anything like the trailer because I think there are, there's so many things wrong with that that even we it's, might not
do,
go
do
near
you
it.
Have a 50 Shades of Dorian Gray?
Sorry.
You can do a 50 Shades of Dorian Gray.
No, that would match probably the age of some of the people that are interested in the actual book. So,
So
50 Shades of Earl Grey we did last year just has Captain Picard. That's the only thing on there. It's classy. It's, you know,
way more classy than trailer. That's for sure. So,
yeah.
So for those of you, you've been on, I don't know, three or four of these. But there are always new listeners. So just give a quick overview of how you wound up, because it's a story that I love, how you wound up on how DC TV was actually born and how you wound up being suckered. Involved with it.
Okay. So long.
Embraced lovingly by Dragon Con.
Yeah. So before the War of the Five. Hang on. So 1988, I attend Dragon Con for the first time. As a paying member. I got a day and a half into the convention, and a friend of mine grabbed me out of the audience and was like, we need your help. We're the technical operations staff is down to 6 people, and we know that you know how to run a soundboard. So I got into technical operations to start with, and then ended up staying on tech staff for a while, recruited a couple of people, including a guy named Patrick Freeman, who is the guy behind the Bob and Carl Sci-Fi Janitors. He's the producer patty cake is how it'll be referred to.
I love that show.
Online. And so he and I were basically the only camera operators on Tech Ops for the longest time. And then one year, it was 2002, the guys who were hosting MST3K were going to be the host of the Masquerade. Mike and Kevin were doing it. So, I'm sorry, no, Joel and Kevin were doing it. Actually, no, what? Anyway, two of the guys. Can't remember. Anyway, so we decided to make an intro video. So that was me and Patrick and a guy named Lucas Leverett, who is also on videography, used to be on transportation. We just decided to make this little intro for them because we're big fans. And Pat Henry saw the video and said, yeah, you can run this beforehand. And then it got a really good crowd response. And then afterwards, he came up to us and said, that's great. What are you doing next year? And we're like, oh, crap. This is something to remember when you're involved in a volunteer organization. If you show competency, you're recruited for things. Isn't that right, Lee?
If you do that, or if you go, yeah, I think I can take that on. Oh,
fail. This is
sure,
the
I can help. Thing.
So we did that birthed the concept of what DragonCon TV was, which for the first couple of years was basically we would get 30 minutes before the Masquerade, which is the big Sunday night costume contest. And we would treat it like the 30 minutes before you go into the movies. And this is before Coca-Cola and everybody like massively sponsored these things. This was when you had mostly like crappy ads for local, like real estate agents or something. Mm-hmm. And it was basically a mashup of what if science fiction had advertising. And so we came up with like an AOL Matrix blend of ads and a bunch of Soylent Green jokes, which we continually recycle. yeah, I know. Soylent Green is people who love your baby. that's the Soylent Green baby too bad, which actually has Stephen Grenade's baby in it. As the baby, not as the food. But anyway, let's move on. So after a couple of years of this, it evolved into – we sort of asymptotically approached Robot Chicken. We started a little bit before, but they have more money and Seth Green and Seth MacFarlane and, you know, Turner Broadcasting. So we sort of have gotten down to the same sort of short joke format.
Lee?
Not that kind of short joke format.
Okay.
Short joke format. Not short host format. But it's just, let's get that. This is why we do this on the Hangouts.
And not in person. To me.
So,
y'all seen. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So we sort of approach this idea of instead of just the Masquerade, we'd run these little bits in between all of the panels. And it turned into a production that sort of lives in my basement. And it became sort of like the SNL of DragonCon. So the same cast of moderately, if not actually funny people, making bits that possibly go on too long in between all the programming you actually want to see. And for some reason, this is actually moderately popular. So we've been doing this for now 12 years and generally produce about an hour of original content for every convention. This includes music videos, sketch comedy pieces, total ripoffs of the Adult Swim bumper format, the little white text on black background stuff that you see if you stay up way too late and watch Cartoon Network. And generally is the sort of mashup of the real world and science fiction sort of crammed together.
Now, you said you produce more than an hour, don't you? Because it seems like it's more than an hour.
The bits go on a lot longer than you think. So, or maybe we do a 30-second joke and it feels a lot longer. I'm going to go with the second one on that. The other thing that we do is we'll keep a lot of bits in rotation. So like every year we tend to retire things that are too old. Like we have a lot of old Stargate jokes that just for whatever reason, they don't work after the show's been canceled. Or we do a bit that's funny one year, but it doesn't, it's a little too like inside joke, or it's too dependent on a meme or something. And so we retire that out. But there's generally about, I guess 2 hours of stuff we keep in our existing rotation. And then we'll put in at least an hour of stuff we locally produce. Mm-hmm. And we'll take submissions from outside. So we have other groups that, like all the Bob and Carl stuff, Sci-Fi Janitors isn't technically DragonCon TV.
Okay.
There's an overlap in the people, but they own all that stuff. And they do productions for other conventions. And that's kind of like an independent property. And they just sort of, you know, skim the cream off of that and give us, you know, what we think is the best stuff every year. Or they make bits specifically for DragonCon. There's a group, Stephen Grenade, who's the Science Track director. I'm sorry, Dr. Stephen Grenade is one of our original actors. He's not one of the first people to be on camera, but he's one of the few people to be on camera with us that actually has acting experience, if that's not evident already. Yeah. And he's involved in a podcast called Disaster Piece Theatry. And they,
I think you mispronounced that. Oh, no, you didn't.
Theatry makes it fancy. And they will do a couple of bits for us every year. So they did the Pickup Lines of the Jedi Masters video a couple of years ago, which is one of the favorite things they've ever made. They made
awesome.
A Zombiscuits ad. They made a new Soylent Green ad, like a Soylent corporate video, like the kind you'd see if like ExxonMobil was sponsoring PBS or something, one of the really nice, fancy ones. This year.
And if you're wondering who – sorry, I was going to say, if you're wondering who the doctor is, he's the one that's in a lot of the Jonathan Coulton videos that they put together. Yep. And a lot of people used to think he was Jonathan Coulton.
Yes.
He's not.
He's not, but he's not.
And he doesn't look anything like him either. But he
doesn't wear glasses and is bald. And Jonathan Coulton wears glasses and is totally not bald.
And so it's really kind of funny. So if you're ever like, oh, that guy, that's who it is. And now you're going to see him. He's the Science Track director too. So he'll be around for that.
So Stephen's group is going to do, I'm going to spoil this a little bit, but it's actually really funny. They're going to do Government Contractors of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, I was going to ask you if you had any S.H.I.E.L.D. bits this year. Okay.
We co-wrote a little bit of the stuff with them, but they've got some really good ideas. And we had a joke that we're making fun of the helicarrier thing because the helicarrier is just never works. And so that's going into one of their bits.
It's like the Death Star. It's like the Death Star. As soon as you build it, it just.
Hey, there's a Death Star in the movie. We know how this is going to go. Hey, there's a helicarrier in the movie. Look, in the trailer, you knew this was going to go sideways. Like, actually. Sideways. I think the same people that build the Death Star build the helicarriers. Because have you ever seen a guardrail on the Death Star or in a helicarrier?
No.
Like any safety features at all? Like a net or a fire exit? So, like, how many stormtroopers would have been saved just by putting up a guardrail? There's no OSHA in these universes, so
I don't know if you saw. I don't know if you watched
It's like those kind of conversations that actually start DragonCon TV. Like, you know, how would you know this universe obviously has to have you know some equivalent. Like the one of the bits that got sent to us last year was a debt consolidation company for the Game of Thrones. Because Lannister always pays his debts, so the Lannisters run the debt consolidation agency.
Wow.
These are the kind of things, the practical bits. Like all the people for years in Filk, there were always jokes about Star Trek that there were never any bathrooms. Because if you actually pull, and I own it because I am that guy, the original like official blueprints for the Enterprise from the original series, there ain't a bathroom on the damn thing. They're not in there.
Well, you don't use the bathroom anymore in the future.
But this is long ago, though.
Number one. I'm going to number two. You have the con.
Oh, so, that is Star Trek and Star Wars.
You don't do that anymore. No more.
Wow.
Apparently.
So, no, I am actually a government employee, and so much of the S.H.I.E.L.D. thing drives me insane sometimes.
Oh, yes.
And the X-Files, too.
The same problem with S.H.I.E.L.D. is
that they can just go wherever they want.
If you have, like, Torchwood, and we were yelling this at the season two premiere of Torchwood. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows who Torchwood is. They have the logo on the outside of their vehicles.
Yeah.
But they're a secret government organization.
Yeah, no.
How did that happen? You're like, if you're in a secret government organization, you don't put the logo of your agency on the outside of your car.
Mm-mm.
You don't.
No. So,
and no. even if people know who you know that the organization exists, you don't want to advertise where you are.
Yeah, oh, yeah, this is the car. This is the car you're aiming for. No, I would say that you know the cars that actually have the three letters on them. Usually, that's only one of many cars that are there. That's not all of them will have that. But yeah, that drives me crazy. Sorry. You also do make fun of those of us at Dragon Con, not just those of us that are short. Thank you. But you know, you do make fun of the comic book fans and the gamers and all of that, which has been just great.
We kid because we love the thing that we figured out really, because another thing that and these two things are a lot closer in appearance. We used to keep Dragon Con TV kind of separate from the way we use video at Dragon Con. So if you've been to Dragon Con and had a chance to book yourself into one of the five host hotels, which most of the audience won't, sorry about that. We all hate passkey. Let's move on. The idea is that all five of the host hotels are connected through a closed circuit television network. So during Dragon Con, you can actually tune to a physical hotel channel that's Dragon Con TV. And we will play our short bits and also live broadcast events and delay broadcast events, because we know no one can go to everything. And so, like, the masquerade is broadcast live through all the hotels. Some of the costume contests are replayed later. The parade has a replay from our live coverage. So you get to see things that you might have missed at the convention because you were asleep or in another panel or in another panel asleep. And so it's more of a way for us to actually do things like crowd control. And we had discovered two things about Dragon Con TV. One is it placates people. If you're watching whatever we're doing and criticizing our acting capabilities and knowing that most of this crap is done on Brian's green screen in his basement and not really well, then you're not thinking about the fact you just stood in line for 45 minutes to see Sir Patrick Stewart, which is still kind of awesome, but still 45 minutes in line. But the other thing is that we're a big enough organization where we have our own inside culture and jokes. I mean, Dragon Con's projected attendance this year is over 60,000 people. I grew up in Goldsboro, North Carolina, which is an Air Force based town. And in the 1980s, it had a population of 25,000 people. So Dragon Con is bigger than my hometown. Dragon Con is way bigger than the town I live in now. So you have that culture, you have that common experience, you have your own cliques and foibles, you might as well make fun of them. Mm-hmm. And it's also a way we found to educate people. Half the time when we're making fun of an element of the convention, it's because we're trying to teach someone how to handle it. So if we make a joke about cosplay is not consent, it's because we really want people to treat cosplayers with respect.
And Brian, the biggest claps we ever get when some of the bumpers are shown in big rooms is when you have the, you know, rules for asking a question, you know, my 21 part question, literally people cheer.
Yeah.
You know, I just always am like, yes.
Yeah. How to behave in a panel always goes well. We've been embedding this for a while and it's weird where it shows up. So we did last year, we did a big music video called Comic Book Shop, which was a parody of Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's thrift shop, mm-hmm. which we had a ton of fun doing that. We actually, Titan Comics up in Smyrna let us take over their shop for three nights in a row and shoot in their comic shop. And which was great because there's a karate school next door. So all these kids are coming out taking pictures of Batman, Superman, Poison Ivy. And they're like, we don't know what's going on, but it's kind of awesome. And there's actually an entire – when I co-wrote that with Alec Pelfrey, who's a co-host of the Dragon Con Late Show and also a huge comic fan and knows all kinds of stuff about comics that I don't. So she checked all my references and corrected me on like how to actually address characters and this sort of thing. But there's a – like one of the verses in there is basically addresses the whole fake geek girl nonsense. The idea that, oh, if you're a woman at a convention and you're a comic book fan, you must be there because your boyfriend told you to buy Batman, or because you look at spandex and wanted an excuse. It's like, no, you might actually be a fan and know more than those stupid boys do about comics. And so there's an entire verse in there that's basically talking down to the idiots who invented the fake geek girl thing. And
thank you.
It's done. You know, there's a whole comic element to it, but it's not us looking at comic book folks and saying, hey, you're terrible people who do all kinds of stereotypical things. It's, you love comics. That's great. This is your place. This is why you love it. And it's, you know, at both hands, and this is tough to do. This is why it took a long time to do that video. It's making fun of and appreciating the culture all at the same time. And sometimes when people make fun of sci-fi culture, even when they're inside of it, they pick all the stereotypes. And we do that too, because they're easy targets. But the harder thing, and the thing we've tried to grow into, is this is a great thing. We love it. We celebrate it. And if we're making fun of you, it's because you're part of our crowd. You know, it's like nobody beats up my brother but me kind of mentality.
Yeah. that's very cool. So awesome. So for this year, all right, you already gave us one little hint. Is there anything else we should be really watching out for? I can't wait.
Have you seen the movie Frozen?
Yes.
No.
Many
I haven't.
Times. I have a 6-year-old niece.
Was there a movie called Frozen? Was there any music?
Apparently, Disney put out this little independent film called Frozen.
Oh, okay.
It got a lot of attention. You know, it's just the story of a boy meets girl, snowman, boy meets girl, snowman, an ice creature, and it's got a global
that old
warming
trope?
Thing or something going on. I think it's a cartoon version of The Day After Tomorrow, to be perfectly honest, with musical numbers. Actually, now I think about it, is The Day After Tomorrow with musical numbers.
That's a little fairly accurate.
And instead of a father son, it's two sisters. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I could go there.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
We might do something with that.
We might just a little.
And it may involve music.
Possibly.
So yeah, it may also involve many hours of editing. So. We are also going to pick on our friends at Public Broadcasting a little bit. So stay tuned for that.
Now, come on, be nice to them. Why kick nice a man when they're down?
They're not down. We love Public Broadcasting.
Not yet.
No.
Not yet.
So you also do some I'll call it quote unquote live programming.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about that.
So the Dragon Con Late Show is our version of a morning show for the convention, because if you're up at 9 o'clock in the morning, you stayed up from the night before. That's just the way the convention works. So 9 a.m. on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of the convention, I co-host the first 30 minutes of programming for Dragon Con with Ali Pelfrey and the doctor, Stephen Grenade. And we basically, we're all experienced con goers. We have different perspectives on the convention. So we give our sort of tips for the day, what the main programming is going to be. And in past years, before we had an app, we would go over the highlights from the Daily Dragon and talk to people about programming and panel changes. But the app does that really well. So this year, we're changing the focus of the program a little bit. We're going to bring more guests onto the show. Last year, we had Jack Walsh, who's the producer of Cosplay Crafting Secret Identity and the Dragon Con documentary. And we had on Mark Meir, who's the voice of Commander Shepard from the Mass Effect games. So this year, we're going to expand our guest roster. We're going to get a first-time con-goer who's a master craftsman winner from Worldcon. She's going to be attending Dragon Con for the first time. So we're going to get her perspectives on how the convention is and have her compare and contrast that to other stuff. We're going to bring some guests from the comic book world on. And we're also going to I'm going to tease it a little bit. But we're going to change our parade coverage a little bit, and that's all I'm going to say about that until we actually get everything worked out. So that's a kind of our daily programming, and that's an easy way to get kind of warmed up for the day and learn something about the convention. And we always do what we call episode zero, which is our preview episode. And that's going to come out probably around August 20th on the DragonCon TV YouTube channel. So that's kind of your video version of the 50 days thing to get you warmed up a little bit.
Now, you just mentioned the YouTube channel. Now, that's you've posted all or most of your stuff from years past up there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have everything from the DragonCon TV catalog there because for years we had maintained a podcast feed and then started putting things on YouTube. Now keep in mind that DragonCon TV first put videos online in 2003 and YouTube didn't exist then. So, we've sort of, this year is the year we're going to turn kind of everything over to YouTube. We're not really going to maintain our podcast feed on the DragonCon TV website because YouTube does a really good job of like pushing video to different formats. So instead of just worrying about, oh, I need a podcatcher and it's going to play small video because I don't have a lot of bandwidth, YouTube just does all this stuff for you. So it scales really well. And no matter if you're on like Android or Apple, even Windows phone users can get YouTube. So
no, there's no way that's possible.
Oh, no.
Anything with a web browser. I'm just saying. I mean, if you had a Roku
Windows
at home,
and Apple, oh my God.
I know. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. So yeah, then we're gonna push a lot more stuff onto the YouTube channel. We are actually going the DragonCon Late Show is gonna move over to the DragonCon TV YouTube channel. We're gonna be pushing a lot more stuff there. So that's gonna be kind of like the hub for all the video at DragonCon this year.
Cool. So let me ask Lee's question. What are you looking forward to this year if you actually had time to get away from all the stuff that you're doing? What would you like to see? Although I guess you we've talked about this before. You guys get to see a lot more than maybe some of the other directors because you actually have to be there to film a lot of this stuff, right?
Yeah, that is the cool thing about volunteering for videography is that if you're not seeing the convention, I have to fire you. Your entire job is to go see the darn convention. And we do that in different ways. Like part of it is you go see the convention as like a panel. You know, the videography staff has to record or, you know, somehow handle live broadcast of video from panels. So you've got to go to a panel. Then you have to go to the masquerade or the page to stage comic book costume contest. You need to be at the parade. So that's an opportunity to see stuff, but then also there's a side of the convention a lot of people don't get to see, where we do some great guest interviews. Chris Lloyd, who used to be my cameraman when I was handling the interviews, now does all of our guest interviews, or at least the vast majority of them. So we spend all of Friday at the loft over at the Marriott Atrium interviewing guests. So he's talked to Lucy Lawless, he's talked to Mindy Bennett. We've got
coffee last year.
Yeah. We've got interviews all across the map. We had I'm trying to remember. It's a long, astute list. I'm really excited because one of the interviews he's got, and I can't tell you yet, but oh, we have such a good interview lined up. Oh, this is so making me so happy. I just can't tell you yet. but so those interviews go live to YouTube. So basically we do an interview on site Friday. It goes to YouTube on Friday. And we were doing that last year for the first time. And so if you miss the interview, we'll run it on the channel, but also you get a chance to go and see that on YouTube. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, DragonCon TV, we'll be posting updates and you can get them as a YouTube subscriber. We're going to push that out a little bit more and go one of the things, because I have a competent staff that like does a lot of stuff that I used to do by myself, I went to a party last year. Like we four or five of us were just like, we're done for the day. We went to the Atlanta party and had a great time. So I want to go to the Hitchhikers party, the Bring Your Own Towel party.
Yep.
And yeah, that looks like a fun one. And I'm going to try to get out and see a little bit more of the cosplay than I have in years past. I used to make a habit of going out and interviewing cosplayers. So we're going to try to do more stuff like that. And that way, most of the time when you get home from DragonCon is when you see most of the costumes, because you start going through people's photo galleries and you don't realize what you might have missed because you were in the Marriott the night that somebody's walking around the Hyatt in full Iron Man armor, or you were in the Hilton doing karaoke the night that somebody brought out, you know, like that epic costume that you were looking for that you could never be in the same room with. So we're going to try to do some more of that, like new segment coverage kind of stuff, and see if we can keep that running so that when you go back and watch it, it's not just our buffoonery in front of a green screen. You're actually seeing more of the culture of the convention as it's going on.
Cool. So, you mentioned the party, but is there any one guest that you're really excited about besides the one that you're obviously...
Patrick Stewart.
There you go.
I can't tell you about the interview we're doing, but I'm excited to see Patrick Stewart. He is a great guest, and I just
awesome.
I really hope he brings Ian McKellen with him, because all the stuff they've been up to on Twitter. I'm also excited to Grant Imahara again. I've had the chance to interview Grant twice, and he is just super excited to be at the convention. He's a great person to have at the con because he wants to see as much of it as possible, not just do all the guest kind of things. Because, you know, he is that guy. He's a guy, you know, used to build robots for fun when he wasn't making models that were in movies. So he's totally, you know, this is his thing. And it's nice to see him when he's like he's hosted the Masquerade before and is totally in his element when he's doing that.
Yeah, that year with he and Carrie Byron was.
Oh, I love that one. That's one of my favorite Masquerade years.
That was, yeah. That was wonderful. So, yay. All right, John, you have your last question. I don't know what you're making up for this
okay,
one.
So for
I was about to try to help, but I can't.
Yeah. So we've been asking our last question, but it's been different this year than it has in the past. This year, I'm going to ask you, if you were trapped in a room, what do you call it? Clockwork Orange style, and had to watch three of your bits over and over again, what three bits would it be?
If you actually did that, I think that the UN might try you for war crimes. I'm just going to let you know that right now.
Well, you know, it's all something right, I'm pondering. Go on.
All right. That I would have to watch?
Yes.
Or that would be the worst for me to watch? Because those are two different questions.
You're being forced to watch, but you at least get to pick them. And your eyes are going
to
be
at least get to pick them.
Pinned well, open.
I said we haven't done any silent movie stuff. I have to pick. Let's see. I'd want to do something I didn't edit because I would just sit there and kind of remind myself how hard it was to get a good key on that, or maybe I should have gotten some better footage. Mm-hmm. And the comic book shop isn't stuck in my head entirely yet because I made Tommy edit that, so that's probably the first one. There's no green screen in that, so that always makes me happy. There's a clip out of the 2000. We did the year we first did full live programming. We thought we were going to be the Daily Show. No, we aren't. And we did a fake newscast. And one of my favorite bits out of that is where Thomas Kearns is the reporter in the park, talking about random attacks. And this is the bit where Patrick jumps out as a zombie and attacks him and then he turns him into the zombie in the middle of the bit. And instead of, as a zombie, he tells people to come to the park at night instead of staying out of the park at night. That one I love just because the take that we used when Patrick jumps out and attacks Thomas is the one where Thomas screams like a girl. And that's why we keep playing that bit 10 years later. So that's a good one. And I really we just have to go with Stormtroopers Gone Wild because it's constantly playing in the back of my brain anyway. So it might as well just be where my eyeballs are propped open. And all that I ask is that before you prop my eyeballs open, take out my contacts first.
You just don't want those to dry.
Yes, you know, my eyes get dry a little bit. I'm just saying.
All right, cool. Well, tell everyone again where they can find all the videos and where else they might find you as in other stuff that you're doing outside of.
So DragonConTV.com is the website. And you can also look for DragonCon TV, all one word, on YouTube, Twitter, and on the Facebook. We'll be doing a small web redesign somewhere this weekend, probably I think on Sunday, so August 3rd or August 4th. There'll just be a refresh of the page. You can find all the old videos in DragonConTV.com and a majority of them, but not 100%, on the YouTube channel. There's some older stuff we haven't uploaded, and I'm not sure if we're going to go back and do like some Soviet revisionist uploading and get that catalog filled up. we're actually doing that right now, going through all the stuff we show at con and taking out the asterisks.
Oh, geez, that's a good point.
And changing any occurrence of the logo and our PSAs and stuff. So, yeah. This is why it's nice to have minions. Thank you, Jonathan. I am on the Twitters as Silicon Chef. And
is that a new name?
No, Silicon Chef is actually a nickname I got back when I was a writer for Linux.com.
Okay.
We were going to do an Iron Chef bit at LinuxCon. In New York in 2001, where we're going to like give people a pile of computer parts and they had an hour to build a computer out of it and get Linux running on it. And we never could do it because that required money and sponsorship. And if you know the history of Linux.com, you know that never happened. So that's why they don't own that domain anymore. And so somebody decided that it was a funny enough idea to where they bought me as a birthday present. They bought me the domain name. And I use siliconchef.com as an occasional blog. It's my handle on Flickr where I've posted way too many photos. And so siliconchef.com is where I occasionally write things. You can see the decay of my blogging time as you see the increase in the number of videos of DragonCon TV. That's correlation and causation. So both are at work there.
And any other projects you got going on personally or no?
Oh, well, there's this job thing they pay me for. I'm a speaker at LinuxCon this year. I'm always a speaker at Intel Developers Forum because that's who I work for. And I've been trying to start a couple of video projects, but if they ever get going, you'll see them at Silicon Chef.
Okay, cool.
Asking free time.
Huh. Yeah. There is no such thing as free time. You know that, right?
No.
Time costs. Anyway,
not 30 days before DragonCon. There's not.
There certainly isn't then. No. All right.
Sorry.
All right, Brian. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for putting up all the stuff that keeps us entertained while we're standing in line. For the 2 hour. Oh wait, we're only supposed to be in line for 1 hour. basically doing all the stuff that you do and getting suckered into this. So that was a very forward thinking of Pat.
I'll thank him for that. And just remember, anytime you see me doing something, it's probably because there's at least 10 other people behind the scenes helping me. So it's just never been a solo project and hopefully never will be.
Right. And we thank all your actors and your producers and your directors and everybody that puts all this stuff, camera guys, everything, and gals that put everything together. It's awesome. And it's nice to see that as the years have gone on, all this content that continues to grow and grow and grow. It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's nice part of Dragon.
It's just improving quality. It's kind of odd. I'm trying to take that.
Well, cool. Thanks again for joining us. And I guess until next time, this is John for Rox. Hey, Rox, you're still here.
Yes, I am.
Hey, Rox.
And Lee and Brian saying, until next time, peace.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Peace.
And Earl Grey. And I'm not short. I'm not short.
No, you are
short.
You're an efficient form factor.
I'm very tall.
She's compact.
What was that?
You have an efficient compact form factor.
No, it was actually sort of a compliment, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.